Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
That was really like suspenseful.
Sad. Oh, yeah.
And really set the mood.
Good.
I loved it.
That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Let's talk about murder.
No chit chat today.
Yeah, let's chit chat. How was your Tuesday?
It was work. I did go to the gym. Blah, blah, blah.
Tuesday is such a weird day, isn't it? It's like Monday repeat. I know we've said this before, but it's like Monday's ugly stepsister.
Yeah. I have nothing.
But tomorrow's Wednesday.
What? And then the next
day. And then the next day is
will be Thursday.
Thursday.
Wow.
Days of the week. 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 There's Sunday and there's Monday. There's Tuesday and there's Wednesday. There's Thursday and there's Friday. And then there's Saturday.
Stop. I'll get into the story. Just stop. Whoa. We did not plan that out.
I have to sing that all the time when they're like, are we going tomorrow? And I'm like, no. There's Sunday and there's Monday.
You need to get them days of the week panties.
I know. Right?
I mean,
yeah,
come
that's
on.
A good idea. The next set of panties that I buy,
things
will be days
every
of the
little
week.
Girl should have.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
On to it.
This really got derailed.
Whoa. All right.
And that was intimates with Candace and Elena.
Yeah. Confessions. Yeah, this was intimates. Oh, yeah. Okay, so today we will be talking about who some call the Beast of Chicago.
I thought the name was who some call. Like, I thought that was the name.
Sorry,
Beast of Chicago is quite frightening.
Yeah, have you heard of the name?
No.
Okay, I'm about to tell you about this
all
guy.
Right, tell me.
You probably have heard about him. I don't know. Once I say his name, you'll be like, oh, yeah. Or, you know, if not, buckle up. It's a wild ride. Okay. So imagine it's May 16th of 1861.
Oh, we're going way back.
Way back. In Gilmanton, New Hampshire, a new babe is born to parents.
No, honestly, I won't. Carry on.
A new babe is born to parents Theodate and Levi Mudgett. That's right. I said Theodate.
I don't know what to say about any of those names.
Yeah. yeah, Mudgett.
Mudgett.
They name the baby Herman Webster Mudgett.
Herman Mudgett? Oh, God bless.
Yeah. He was a middle child. His father was a hardworking man working their farm and such.
Mm-hmm.
It's said that Theo, his mother, was religiously strict. But despite that, Herman grew up to be a mama's boy and didn't have much of a relationship with his dad.
Okay.
His dad was said to have been abusive.
Oh.
There was an alleged incident when Herman was a young boy. On his way to school, he had to pass the office of the village doctor. His schoolmates found out that he was afraid of the doctor's office and dragged him into it.
Oh, no.
This group of boys were bullying him and pushed him into the closet and shut him into the closet, and he couldn't get out. Inside of the closet with him were those medical skeletons.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, you know, the ones that they use for teaching.
Oh, so, I know the ones.
Yeah. So that was a little traumatizing for him.
Yeah, I bet.
But fast forwarding, when he graduated high school at 16 years old, he became a teacher.
Okay.
And then he eloped and married Clara Lovering in 1878.
And she was going to change her name from Lovering to Mudgett? I don't think so.
Yeah, can I keep my last name?
I'm very progressive, and I just want to keep my last name.
Yeah, well, she was 15, so maybe she just, I mean, you know, it was those days. Okay. She was 15 when they met, and they were married a year later.
Those were the times.
Those were. So rumor had it that he married her because of her wealth.
Oh.
She would be able to pay for his schooling to become a doctor.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like some...
Maybe the traumatizing...
I was about to say, was that like...
It fueled...
Immersive therapy or whatever?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. He wanted to be a doctor.
All right.
Anyway, very quickly after they had their son, Robert. Eventually, Herman decided to move to Burlington, Vermont without his wife and son and begin medical school.
Okay.
What's a young man got to do with all his freedom while in college?
I think I know.
Well, he was a good-looking guy, and he liked to flirt. He lived as though he didn't have a wife and child waiting for him back home.
Really?
He found a girlfriend, and when they started talking about marriage, she found out that he was still married to Clara back home.
Oh.
So she finds all that out, and she breaks it off with him. She's like, no, we can't be doing that.
No.
So he makes his way to University of Michigan. And at this school in the 1800s, they learn by dissecting on real dead bodies.
Right.
Herman meets the guy at the school who is responsible for receiving all of the cadavers.
Oh.
And he's intrigued.
Yeah.
He started spending time with this cadaver guy and... And learning the tricks of the trade, like how the school obtained the bodies and how they preserve them. Okay. And
this was probably not weird to this person because he's in medical school and he's he's a curious learner.
He's just learning.
And so he's probably telling him all this stuff.
Right. He's got to learn all aspects.
And like, to be fair, I would be asking the same questions.
True. So... First, it's the skeletons in the closet. Now it's dissecting and retrieving dead bodies. And this is when the switch flips or the flip switches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can make some real money here.
Oh.
His first bright idea was to dig up bodies from their graves and sell them to the university.
Okay. Did they embalm back in that day? Because I'm just thinking like what kind of quality are we talking about?
I think they did. I'm pretty sure they did.
I
didn't ask that question. Okay. So, but yeah, this is where we get our term grave robbing.
Right. He had a scheme.
Yeah. He's like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get your bodies. Now, even though he was a nice looking fella, the people that knew him said that he was a little weird and he smelled a little funky.
Oh.
But I think most people in the 1800s smelled a little funky, right? I mean,
running water.
Yeah, you get one bath a week or maybe every other week. I don't know. And Herman is out here digging up graves and such.
Right.
Yeah, he's a little stinky.
Yeah.
Just a little side note.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Thank you for that visual.
Shortly after he graduates med school, he moved to Philadelphia and worked at a pharmacy. While working there, there was an incident where a young boy died after taking medication that Herman had given him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's what prompted him, but he ends up moving to Chicago, Illinois. On to the next adventure.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
bouncing around. He's still got the wife and kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Clara and Robert is still where did I say, in Vermont?
Right.
New Hampshire.
We can't even keep up because he's all over the place.
Yeah. So in 1885, he moved to Englewood, Illinois, in the Chicago area.
All right.
And this is where he changes his whole name.
Oh.
To Henry Howard Holmes, a.k.a.
H.H. Holmes.
So you know. You've heard the name.
I cannot believe you pulled the wool over my eyes.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am born again. I'm in here. I'm awake.
Okay. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. He would later say that he chose his name after Sherlock Holmes because he liked to read, and one of his faves was Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
He got a job working at E.S. Holton Drugstore in Chicago. Everett Holton, the owner of the drugstore, recently died at this time. And so in 1888, newly named H.H. Holmes asks Everett's widow if she would sell the drugstore to him, and she agreed.
Wow.
They made the sale, and Miss Holton was never seen again.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know a lot about this story?
Kind of.
Well, chime in.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
But you were cheeky because you told it in a way where I was like, I've never heard this before.
Okay. Once he settled into the new ownership, he decided to build a three-story building across the street from the drugstore. He closed the original drugstore, and in the new building, he had a pharmacy on the first story, along with a jewelry store and a barber shop and a blacksmith. A blacksmith?
A blacksmith?
I don't know. That confused me. And a restaurant.
Okay.
The third story had boarding rooms and apartments for rent. It was an interesting building,
mm-hmm.
complete with winding staircases and elevators. The city of Chicago wanted to have a celebration, and they called it the World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Come one, come all.
I want to go.
Millions of people would be coming into town to celebrate, and Mr. Holmes's three-story building would have been perfect to house several visitors.
And he's got that restaurant. He's got a blacksmith.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be doing your horseshoes while you're in town.
Exactly.
I don't know. So,
with the blacksmith.
I'm just trying to act like
buy some jewelry right while you're there, you know.
I'm an uncultured swine. I don't know.
But he would actually get a lot of his funding from investors. You know, they're like, excited, let's help you build this place so that when the fair comes.
Right.
But he didn't have intentions to pay this money back to these guys.
You don't say.
Yeah. In 1889, Mr. Holmes approached 33-year-old Benjamin Pitezel. I meant to look that up to see how you say it. I think it's Pitezel. And he asked him to be a partner in his business endeavors. Now, Benjamin was married with 5 children. He was a carpenter, so he would help with the construction of the building.
Mm-hmm.
In 1890, Mr. Holmes began an affair with a 31-year-old woman named Julia Smythe. Yes. He is still married to Clara, but he hasn't seen or talked to her since he left for med school, right?
So. Are you serious? He hasn't talked to her since then?
No.
What?
No.
He just left and she's like, oh, he's going to come back a doctor. Woo!
Yeah. Like she doesn't know what happened to him.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
she really doesn't know because he's changed his name now.
Yeah, exactly. So Julia was the wife of Dr. Lawrence Connor, and she had a little girl with Dr. Connor named Pearl. She worked at the jewelry counter on that first floor of his building, Mr. Holmes's building, and Julia's husband found out what was going on. He's like, what's going on here?
No.
And after Dr. Connor found out about the affair, he quit his job in town and he moved away, leaving Julia and Pearl with Holmes.
What?
Yeah, he's like, this is what you want?
Yikes.
So Julia would fall pregnant with Mr. Holmes's baby. But before the baby was born, Julia and Pearl disappeared on Christmas Eve of 1891.
Oh.
Was the last time anybody heard from them.
Interesting.
Mr. Holmes told those who questioned that Julia had left unexpectedly to visit her dying sister. She'll be back. She just went to go see her sister.
Okay. I could think of a better one just like right now.
Okay.
She got back together with her husband and okay. she moved.
That was his next story.
Okay.
Yeah. So he then changed his story saying that she had fled to be with her former husband. He later claimed that Julia had actually died during
what?
An abortion.
Oh, Lord.
But the math wasn't mathing. Like, why not have a funeral if she died?
Right.
What did you do with her body after she died? Where's Pearl?
Right.
But life went on.
Yeah.
So 1892, another woman would come into his life, a woman named Emmeline Segrand. She was 23 and he hired her as a secretary. Mr. Holmes asked her to marry him.
Oh, that's so romantic. Yeah.
Shortly after the proposal, she was telling people that she was going to go back home to Indiana and she's never seen again.
What?
And so she was last seen in December of 1892. So seems like around Christmas time, these women just leave him. In the weeks leading up to her disappearance, neighbors noted that she appeared to have lost interest in her relationship with Holmes. I don't know if she was like what she was saying. Mm. She probably was like, ugh, I got to get out of here.
But if she was going back home.
Yeah. I mean, that didn't seem out of the ordinary, right? Mm-hmm. She's going home. Okay. It's in Indiana.
Right.
Probably won't see her again. Okay. Emmeline's parents were informed that she had left to marry a man named Robert Phelps.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, her empty luggage trunk was sent back to her mother in Indiana. And Emmeline wasn't there.
Hmm.
A year later, he met a woman in Minneapolis named Murda.
Murda.
He talked her into moving to Chicago and with him, and the two of them did get married.
Wow. Did she know she was a sister wife?
No, she didn't. But you know, Herman was married. H.H. Holmes wasn't married.
Right. Mm,
this is H.H. Holmes's first marriage.
Okay. All right.
If you want to look at it that way.
I'll look at it that way.
Okay. So they got married and they had a daughter named Lucy.
Aww.
It was said that Murda was jealous and didn't put up with Holmes's flirtatious behavior with all the women who came and went from his building.
Oh, no.
So he would keep Murda upstairs out of the way.
You know what? I'm going to move you, actually.
Yeah.
Up to the top
floor. He's like, you do your secretarial work here and you don't move. So Murda and Lucy would end up moving to live with family members.
Wow.
Mr. Holmes and Benjamin traveled to Texas onto their next endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Holmes met a 24-year-old woman named Wilhelmina Williams. She went by Minnie.
That's cute.
She came from a wealthy family, and Holmes's eyes lit up when he heard this. Holmes offered her a job at the hotel as his personal stenographer.
Okay.
And she was persuaded to move to Chicago, and she started working with Mr. Holmes. Somehow he got Minnie to sign over her estate.
What?
That was back in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh my.
To him.
Wow.
Somewhere around a month later, Holmes and Minnie rented an apartment in Chicago's Lincoln Park. And Minnie's younger sister, 18-year-old Anna, who went by Nanny Williams, came to visit. On July 5th of 1893, she wrote to her aunt, or aunt, however you want to say it. Aunt.
However they said it back in the 1800s. Yeah.
So she wrote to her and she said that she planned to accompany Brother Harry.
Brother Harry.
To Europe.
Oh.
They're going to go on a trip. I know. In the letter, she signed off the message, Brother Harry says, you need never trouble about me anymore.
Oh my gosh.
She says, financially or otherwise.
Okay.
He and sister will see to me.
Okay.
I hope our hard days are over, she says. Many nor Nanny's family ever saw or heard from them again.
Goodness gracious.
Now, would you be surprised if I told you he got married a third time?
What?
Yeah. This time.
Third time's the charm, right?
you know, some would say. Mm-hmm. This time, a woman named Georgiana. And she came from a wealthy family and had a big inheritance coming her way. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have a lot of information on her.
Okay.
Because I failed to research that. But she was just yet another victim in all of his schemes. Mm. In his travels to other states, Mr. Holmes was known to borrow money for building loans and then skip town. Like, he goes to these other states and he's like, hey, I'm going to build this building. Mm-hmm. Do you want to invest? And they give him these loans and then he takes the money and runs.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So while in Texas, he stole horses and sold them. Benjamin and Holmes committed a string of insurance fraud throughout Pennsylvania, Texas, Tennessee, Colorado, Missouri, Illinois,
I bet it
New
was
York.
So easy to do, though, oh, back yeah. in that day.
Yeah.
Everything was like on paper.
True. That's why we have all the...
Mm-hmm. He would never get away with it these days.
I don't know. I feel like he would find a way. But the fraud actually did catch up with him, and Mr. Holmes was arrested while in Missouri. So while in jail there in Missouri, he became buddies with Marion Hedgepeth. Marion was in jail for robbing trains.
Mm.
Mr. Holmes told Marion about a plan that he and Benjamin came up with and was going to put, they were going to put this plan into action. He tells him all about it. And how he convinced Benjamin to pull out a life insurance policy on himself. And Benjamin was going to fake his own death. He would have to find a body that looked like Benjamin
mm-hmm.
in order to pull this off.
Right.
So the insurance money would go to, a portion would go to Benjamin's wife. And then a portion would go to Mr. Holmes. And yes, Benjamin's wife knew about this plan. Marion was like, oh, I got a guy that can help you out with this. He pointed Holmes to a lawyer that would be willing to help him in this scheme.
Interesting.
This crooked.
Now we've got someone else involved.
This crooked lawyer. But Marion wanted a piece of the pie. He wasn't going to give.
A finder's fee.
Yeah. He wasn't going to give the name of this lawyer right. for free.
Right.
So he's like, when you get the life insurance money, you send some to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Did they give each other a handshake?
Yeah.
Spit, it was an IOU. Yeah. September 4th of 1894, Benjamin was working at a drugstore. A customer walked in and found Benjamin dead on the floor.
For real life?
But guys, yeah, it was really Benjamin. It was not a fake body. Story goes is that Holmes got Benjamin really drunk and then poured chloroform down his throat,
ooh,
making it look like suicide.
It's gonna burn.
I know.
Whoa.
But some say that he killed Benjamin and then poured the chloroform down his throat to make it look like a suicide or some kind of accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was he was working in this pharmacy, and so maybe this potion or medicine that he was concocting. I don't know. So Holmes got the $5,000 from the portion of the life insurance. Benjamin's wife, like I said, she knew about the fraud. So Holmes had convinced his wife that Benjamin was still alive, like that really, oh. That was the fake body. Oh. And Benjamin's still alive. No. You know, just give it some time. He'll be.
Right. He'll be back.
Yeah. But he feared that the children would learn of the scheme and rat them out. So he tells Benjamin's wife, you just lay low. I'm going to take the kids and I'll take care of them.
No.
Mm-hmm. All five kids.
Jesus.
While the kids are away from their mother, they wrote her letters telling her how they missed her and how weird Holmes is. Yeah. I'd say. Well, it wouldn't be long and one of the little boys would be poisoned by Holmes. A few days after that, he poisons two more of Benjamin's children. I don't know why only three and not the other two.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But Holmes made a pretty big mistake, though. He failed to pay Marion Hedgepeth.
Oh.
From that insurance money. You know, his little prisoner mm-hmm. friend. Marion was not going to let that slide.
No.
Marion went and ratted Holmes out, telling the authorities about the scheme. And the insurance company investigated and police were watching Holmes until they had sufficient evidence and, you know, the perfect timing mm-hmm. to arrest him. During this time of traveling around and hiding, Holmes had traveled back to Clara's house.
What?
His first wife.
They always come crawling back.
He told her that all this time that he was gone, he had been in a train accident.
What?
And he got amnesia. And he just recently remembered that he had a family.
Oh, yeah.
Back in New Hampshire, Vermont. I don't know. Yeah. So when he left her, they were living in Vermont, but I heard that she moved to New Hampshire with his family, like with his parents. I don't know why she wouldn't live with her wealthy family.
Oh.
I don't know how that works, but rumors, guys, rumors. Yeah. But in 1894, as he's trying to hide out, Holmes arrived in Boston. He's like, okay, they're still looking for me. Hi, but bye.
They haven't started looking in Boston. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. I know I just got back, but I got to get out of here. So he goes to Boston and checked into a boarding house in the West End under the name of H.M. Howell.
Okay.
Authorities had received word that Holmes was wanted for larceny, for the stealing of the horses in Texas. So on the afternoon of November 17th of 1894, Holmes was arrested in Boston.
Got him.
Yeah, he was arrested by the Pinkerton Detective Agency.
Okay.
Did you ever learn about the Pinkertons in history? Oh, I did. Anyway.
I did.
I just loved history.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Y'all know I just love history because I talk about all these cases from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in November of 1895, Holmes was convicted of the murder of Ben Pitezel.
Mm.
When investigating Holmes' building in Chicago, they uncovered a lot of horrific secrets from that place.
Ooh.
The second floor, I told you about the first floor and the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
This time, I'm going to tell you about the second floor. It was made up of 35 rooms. Some rooms had no windows. Weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But also...
Not up to code.
No. Yeah. But also built into some of these rooms were gas lines.
Oh, no.
He would lure his victims into these rooms, lock them in from the outside, and turn the gas lines on and let them suffocate to death.
Oh, my God.
There was also a garbage chute that he could have easy access to, so he'd kill his victim and then drop them down this garbage chute that led to the basement where he had a hot burning stove like a kiln.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
The Osage
Trail
story.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the crazies back in these days. Yeah, that's
how
true.
How else are they going to get the body downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Just make a chute.
Yeah. So he would basically cremate these bodies. Also, within these walls of the second floor were secret passages and hidden rooms. Some were soundproof, so others that lived or rented apartments there couldn't hear the screaming.
Oh my gosh.
Like, crazy.
Yeah.
This house was made with pure evil intentions.
Yeah.
They found ashes in one of the kilns. Amongst the ashes was a watch and chain. They came to find that it belonged to Minnie, the woman from Texas.
Oh my.
And now the building is notoriously known as the Murder Castle. And Holmes is now known as the Beast of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Mudgett, a.k.a. H.H. Holmes, with several other aliases throughout his short life, would initially plead not guilty.
Well, don't they always?
Yeah. Shocker. But in the end, he let it go. And he confessed, saying, "I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer. No more than a poet can help the inspiration to sing."
What? That's beautiful.
He would confess to 27 murders, but it's believed to be a lot more than that, like in the hundreds.
Mm.
In his confession, he stated that his usual method of killing was to suffocate his victims using an overdose of chloroform, overexposure to lighting gas fumes, and trapping them into an airless vault. He also claimed to have used starvation.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And he even said that he burnt some of his victims alive.
Oh, God.
He then claimed to have poisoned little Pearl to hide the circumstance of her mother, Julia's death.
Mm.
A partial skeleton the size of a child around Pearl's age was found when excavating his cellar.
Oh.
Pearl's father, Dr. Connor, was a key witness at Holmes's trial. The story goes that if Holmes didn't burn his victims, he would sell the bodies to local medical schools that needed cadavers.
Mm-hmm.
So it went all the way back to that.
Man.
Medical schools purchased many human skeletons from Dr. Holmes during this period, but never asked how he obtained them.
I mean, back then it was like the wild, wild west.
It really was. Just like,
yeah, you got a cadaver for me this week?
Yeah. Literally.
Seriously.
Oy. One of his victims, Emmeline, her skeleton was found by police at the home of a Chicago physician who admitted having articulated 3 skeletons for H.H. Holmes.
Oh, my.
Some say that this is just a rumor with no real proof, but during the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, he engaged with multiple women in order to kill them for their life savings.
Jeez. Like,
hey, good looking.
Gosh, he didn't quit.
Yeah. Young women in the area, along with tourists who would come to the fair, suddenly began disappearing. And side note, the construction workers who built the murder castle were routinely fired before they could learn enough about what Holmes was doing and the weird hidden passages. Right.
So the next person would take over.
Yeah.
At this point, and it wouldn't.
Yeah.
The weirdness was closed off, and then,
So they couldn't learn about the oddities or, you know,
I would have given anything to go in that building. Can someone please,
I know,
that's like super wealthy and they don't know what to do with their money, can you please build a replica of this murder castle?
I know. It would have been so interesting to go in there.
Man.
Herman Mudgett was sentenced to death and was hung on May 7th of 1896 at just 34 years old.
Jeez.
He requested that he be buried in cement or cement, however okay. you want to say it, so that grave robbers couldn't come dig him up.
I'm sorry.
And dissect his body. And the judge is like, okay.
No.
We'll grant you your wish.
I'm sorry, BK. We cannot give you your vegan meal.
Right.
No. That's not how it goes.
There is a lot more reported on this case, and I'm sure you might want to chime in on what you've heard. But if I tried to tell you all of it, we'd be sitting here a lot longer.
Three-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's good because a lot of times when people cover this case, it is drawn out.
Yeah.
Every detail. And so it's
good. Y'all don't want to sit here and listen to all of it.
You know, if you want to hear the story of H.H. Holmes, this is a really good comprehensive story.
Yeah. If you want to get into the weeds, I'm sure it's out there.
Go in the weeds. I think, yeah. I mean,
a lot of it is rumors, you know, because back in the 1800s, it was newspapers. You hear from it from the newspaper and it's not always accurate information.
Yeah. And things moved so slowly too. Like information moved so slowly back then.
Exactly. By the Pony Express. Yeah. So through it all, Holmes traveled to several states throughout the United States, committing insurance scams and murdering people. And it's not like his motive was just to kill. It was more for the money. It seems to have always been a business opportunity for him. This three-story building or castle, as some call it, would have been really cool to go into, like we just talked about, if it weren't for knowing the evil within. Yeah. But even if we wanted to, we couldn't because the place burned down in 1938.
Yeah.
It was set fire by an arsonist.
I'll tip my hat to you, right?
Even though it would have been nice to see. There's no point for it to be.
Yeah. The vibes in there are probably, there's no sage that could cleanse that out there.
You got that right. So in 2017, Herman's body was actually exhumed. Did you hear about that?
I don't remember that part.
As they dug, they found an empty coffin, but then they find the cement. And under the cement was the coffin that actually held his body.
Oh.
He had a fake coffin on top of the cement.
Why did people indulge him in this? Like, why did someone go through the trouble to do this for
him? I don't know.
Why?
Yeah. So weird. So weird. They say his body was very well preserved because of the cement.
Okay.
Anyway. There was speculation that Herman, aka H.H. Holmes, was Jack the Ripper. One of the pieces of evidence that could back this up is that he kept a good log of his comings and goings. Mm-hmm. But in his logs, there's a gap from the late 1888 to early 1889. Oh. And this is the same time frame of Jack the Ripper, of his crimes in London. There's also record of an H. Holmes traveling on a passenger ship from London to the United States after the final victim was killed.
Wow.
Not to mention the letter that Minnie's sister wrote to their family about Holmes wanting her to go to Europe with him.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just thought that was
That's really crazy. Interesting. I've not heard that link before.
Yeah. And now remember, the Jack the Ripper case we thought was close to being solved in 2019. A DNA study of the Shaw from one of the crime scenes. I'm not going to get all into it because maybe...
No, can you? Because that was exhilarating when we heard that breaking news. That was just months ago.
Yeah. So the study of the Shaw that was found at one of the crime scenes claimed to identify Aaron Kosminski as the killer. However, the validity of the mitochondrial DNA evidence on the Shaw was contested by many experts due to potential contamination.
Well, and how old it was.
Yeah.
Like,
and that Shaw, because the Shaw was passed around.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It was going around, being on necks, being rubbed up against people. If it had been preserved,
right?
Like if it had been left in a trunk and passed down and never touched,
right?
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know. Why is it his DNA? Because he was a suspect.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. But it was contested by many experts.
I mean, I have to say, yeah. Chain of custody, there was none.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what do we expect?
No.
1800s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, could it be Herman Mudgett, a.k.a. H.H. Holmes?
That's so wild. You know, when you're thinking about pathology here.
Yeah.
So his M.O. was to kill women for their money and they disappear.
Yeah.
It's quite a night and day.
Exactly.
MO from Jack the Ripper.
And I think that's the main thing that pulled them off of the possibility. Because
he was Jack the Ripper was such an expert at getting in and out undetected and making these precise incisions, removing organs and like, doing all this wild stuff in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so unlike. How?
Yeah, it's just Holmes. I mean, I see the
I mean, if you're talking theory, about removing their organs and hey, I mean, medical, he was
interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was interested in all that.
There
was,
is that, but interesting.
Interesting. I'm stroking my goatee. I really have a goatee. I've got some wild hairs. Oh, man. I need to wax.
Welcome to your 40s.
Yes. Wow. Is that all?
That's all I have
for
you.
Oh, my gosh. I wish it could go on and on. When American Horror Story came out with that one season that was based on the H.H. Holmes murder castle.
I never did watch it.
You would not like that
I
show.
I wouldn't like it.
It's raunchy and it's of the devil.
That's right. I don't want no part of it.
Hard for me to watch even because I was just like, it's a lot. But I really like American Horror Story. But anyways, they had a lot of those weird rooms in that show.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was cool. That part of the show, because you're like, oh, this feels really immersive. Like I'm in this hotel, like you open a door and it's not a door. It's a cement wall.
Yeah. It's a wall or it's this small room with furniture. And oh, and that's one report that I read was some of the narrow rooms just had furniture that he kept hidden. Like he would buy the furniture on credit and hide them in these hallways and these secret passages to not have to, he can keep the furniture, but he didn't have to pay them. Anyway,
guys, I'm entering the $1.3 billion lottery. And if I win, I will build.
Oh my gosh.
And you will come. We will make it an actual hotel. And you can rent
and
out.
And then
these,
we're going to have a fair.
We're not going to run gas lines, okay? And every room will have a window. But it'll be weird. And it'll be based on.
But we will have secret passages. Yeah,
and we won't murder anyone.
No.
Okay? But it will be.
It'll be a fun house.
So cool. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so go win the lotto.
Yeah. Seriously.
So is there anything that you remember about him that I didn't say?
So Lucy, his daughter, was one of the skeletons found in that doctor's house.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. It's wild to me.
Yeah.
That he was giving this doctor people that had gone missing.
Yeah.
As if you're not going to recognize or like question.
Yeah, they didn't. They're like, okay, thanks. Drop her off here.
Oh my gosh. What a sick freak.
Yeah.
This is a family show. That's all I'll say. Wow. Well, I liked the way you told that story.
Thank you.
You got me.
I did.
You got me at the beginning.
That was the best part.
But yeah, I hate to say that I really am so interested. It's a case study, H.H. Mm-hmm. Holmes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Hitler. The fact that you could be operational.
Yes.
As a devil.
Yeah.
And you just, that is how you operate in your life.
And he's like, yeah, I was born with the devil inside and I can't help it.
Yeah. It's not a phase. It's just what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, everything man. He did, everything he lived and breathed was to make money and scam people.
Yeah.
That was him.
Well, that was great. Mm. Let's do it again sometime.
Okay, girl.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.